God was directing all the details of what we call Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem to give his life and rise from the dead. You think of the details we know of, you know, God chose the donkey, God chose the city, God chose the crowd. Children are mentioned a little bit later in some of the Gospels, being too loud. That's a shocker there. And the then you have God chose the Messiah to come in to the city. And all were a part of God's rescue mission that would impact you and I for forever. So we're very thankful. I wanted to make some comments about God directing Palm Sunday, directing every click of the clock, every moment of our days. Simple truth of the Bible, which was true on Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Resurrection Day, and today. God rules over all creation, which is an all-time absolute truth. Okay, hard to believe sometimes, don't understand it most of the time, don't like it most of the time, but God rules over all creation all the time. Jesus was Lord from all eternity past, was so on Palm Sunday, is so today, will be so when he comes again. And at Christ's return, God's rule will be honored by all. Sometimes that first one is hard to believe because we see, look at all the pain, look at all the problems, death, difficulties, and you name it, it's out there. And so, you know, what are you talking about, God's being in charge here with the absolute rule over everything? You know, am I blind or what? No, he rules it, and someday, not yet, but someday, everybody will honor him as doing it. Okay, that has not happened yet, but we're glad he does that. And he's a sovereign Lord, so we yield our lives to him in the rescue of sinners. Zechariah gives us a preview about 500 B.C. of Palm Sunday. Does so through Zechariah the prophet. Well, he is the guy. And then Zerubbabel, the governor. Zerubbabel is a fun name of the Bible. He was in the genealogy of Jesus. Okay, if you go on Route 30... there's a hospital that was recently torn down, and you have a bunch of rubble there. Maybe the temple looked like that when Zerubbabel had, okay, let's rebuild it, you know. Oh, that'll be easy, he's thinking. Not so easy. And so there was discouragement. You can remember Zerubbabel in the rubble, but not the Barney rubble. Okay. He's just to try to help with the names there. So, God uses him, Zechariah, and some previous prophets, Nehemiah, Ezra, to get this, everybody get ready. God is going to really do this, you know, but it was hard. There was external opposition. God's people weren't too excited about it. They were excited about their well-paneled houses. We talked about that last week. Our own spiritual health, you know, we're really into it. But he wanted everybody built. He wanted the temple built for worship. But external opposition, internal discouragement. And so this is what you and I face. External opposition. The doctor comes in, he says, this is the problem, and we're going to have to do this, and this is the recovery time. So there's a lot of limitations. There's, you know, slowed up from what you want to do. And then internal discouragement. You go through a rough time. Get Chris for 10 seconds after worship, Chris Schneider, you know, not to embarrass him, I say, with all the pain you went through physically, you know, what was tougher, that physical pain or the internal discouragement? I don't know. I'll let him answer it. But I'm thinking it was a lot harder thinking about the road ahead and just how he felt than, like, oh, your pain level was a 10 every day for how many years? I don't know. But internal discouragement. God can help us there. That's where we hurt the most. So this is how God's people were back then, and also Palm Sunday. Rome was a pain in the neck. Religion was selfish and corrupt. Sounds familiar in terms of what we fall into. But Jesus in his life, you know, when he went through the week, he had some hard times in Gethsemane. He was under great pressure. Emotional pain in Gethsemane, emotional and physical pain at the cross. He said in Gethsemane, I'm sick unto death. An old song from a play has Jesus singing, I used to be inspired, now I'm sick and tired. Okay. Sometimes that's the way you're going to feel. The King of Glory, he's there facing what he had to face. And back to Zechariah. So he's facing this, have the task. God will get it built. And God has to tell him, look, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord, that this temple is going to be rebuilt. And the temple of God's people will be rebuilt. It won't be by might, not by power, not by the human ingenuity and abilities. But above and beyond that, God, His Spirit, He can get it done. And so the new temple is happening. It starts small. God says, don't despise the day of small things. You look at your life and say, God hardly did anything for me, you know, other than three square meals and I can breathe and I can move. Well, that's a lot, first of all. And don't despise the day of small things. You know, sometimes it just takes, give God a donkey and some palms, some loud children. You'd be surprised what He could get done. You know, He could start to save the whole world just with that little bit of a combination. See, in your soul too, you sit there and you go, oh, you know, it's going to be a hard Easter week and I'm going to be busy and relatives there and no relatives there. And just, here comes the Messiah. Don't despise the small thing. Don't despise the meek king on a donkey. You know, Jesus, the meek king, nobody's too excited about him, for sure. And if you take Jesus' life during Holy Week, I wanted to mention, often you could see us having those feelings, thinking those thoughts, even when we walk with Christ today. The joy of Palm Sunday, thankful, very thankful. By Thursday, Last Supper, close to the Lord, but some sadness there, uncertainty. You know, you could be close to Jesus and be sad. Jesus was close to His apostles, and Jesus was sad. Okay, so that can happen. That's going to be a part of it. And then, that was Thursday, Friday, love and forgiveness given, and facing the last enemy, death. Okay, the biggest injustice and hatred toward God the world ever knew at the cross. And yet Jesus says, I bring salvation through this worst moment in history. You have worse moments in your life. You say, this is bad. Jesus can help you and defeat death for you in that situation. Then it's Saturday, Easter Saturday. What do you do there other than wait for Sunday? For the apostles, you know, they were full of doubt, confusion. What do we do now? That had to be the longest Saturday in history. You know, our greatest loved one just died. We're in trouble. They're probably going to kill us next. So we're just going to sit around. And then Sunday. Nobody saw Sunday coming. Nobody. Except the Father in heaven and Jesus. And so, rising from the dead. What happened? People start running around. Half of them don't believe. Half of them, I have to see it to believe it. And life forever with Christ offered to you and to me. So, what God did. Wanted to say that in all the events, God is leading the parade, designing the details. Can we trust Him with that? It's hard to trust Him with that. The alternative is you be in charge of the universe. That's why everybody's laughing up at that thought. Okay? We don't want that. We want the truth that God is working. Don't understand that it's a mystery. Lord, I'll trust You even when I can't see You, don't like what's happening, don't understand it, won't understand it until heaven. I'd rather have You Just give me Jesus at that moment. Mother Teresa supposedly prayed this toward the end of her life. She started to feel not too close to God in the last few years. So with about a month left in her life, they said, what can we do for you? She said, just give me Jesus. That's all I want. Just Him. So that's a good example for us. But God getting it done, working. What do I have next? The promise He gives, not by our might, but by His Spirit. Then He judges. He says, show compassion. Look after the fatherless, the widow, the alien, the poor. Well, that'll keep me busy till Jesus comes back. Right? God, that's what He's into. That's what He likes. So we could do that. And repent if we don't. And then the Lord lets us know He is sold and pierced. In Zechariah's day, that's the way He felt. In Jesus' day, that's what happened. God says, Zechariah, go and ask, what should this message get? How about 30 pieces of silver? God says, take that silver and throw it away. You know, is that how much we think God is worth? You think, how much is God worth to you? Your soul means a lot to Him, but Him to you, is He the greatest? Is it something that He can help us have Him be number one in our affections and love? And then the Lord's pierced for our sins, the spear, the nails, to win us salvation. And to know that Jesus is your hero. Jesus is your hero, given His life in your place. When somebody puts their life on the line and you give thanks. And we say, let's walk together. Jesus gives His life on the line. We say, thanks. And we say, let's walk together. We trust Him. He rescues us from hell forever. Gives us life forever in heaven. And then God is victorious. So thank Him for what He accomplished. Even that week before the resurrection, He was accomplishing much. Notice in the Bible and in that last week, God is the center of everything. You and I are going to be at our best as Christians when we look to God and trust Him. There were no heroic disciple or apostle activity that last what we call Holy Week. It was God doing this, God the Son coming, God the Son cleaning the temple, God the Son sold and pierced, God the Son victorious. Even in cleaning the temple, that's a humbling thing. Sometimes we like, I like it when Jesus came in and overturned the tables. That might mean I have a problem with anger. I like it when God's angry. Because I'm angry, God said, I'm going to come to your house, overturn the table. Well, it needs cleansed. It does. It needs cleansed. So we surrender to Him. And final part, remember the promise that He gave. He said, when I'll work, it won't be by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. Just tell you a short story, true story. Group of Christians, they really want to follow God. They know Jesus is risen, and they trust in Him and so on. So what they do, they get any laws in the Old Testament as they could find, along with the festivals, and these are all good. And they say, we're gonna do these as hard as we can by our willpower and strength. And then we're going to be fine with God. And the more they tried, the more they would fall short and, of course, fail. And God had to tell them something very similar to Zechariah. He says, hey, when you start with God, when you start with my Spirit, don't try to finish everything by human effort. And it's just something you might take to your own soul. That's from Galatians 3:3. When we trust Christ, how did we start following Him? We said, Lord, I'm dead. I'm a sinner. I trust You. So when you face that Monday morning or Thursday, whatever you're facing, you know, again, it's not going to be our ability, our might, our power. But Lord, I think I'm going to trust you in this. I think you could do something to honor yourself here and just let me put my trust in you, Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. What God would be doing that holy week. And I wanted to close in a time of brief prayer. Just taking part of a prayer that we've thought about before. It was simply saying, Jesus, be yourself in me today. Let your spirit do in us what we cannot do. Help me trust you. Help me follow you. Help me ask for that forgiveness I need, either from God or, you know, person to person. God will set it up. You don't have to strain about it. You just make these prayers your prayer as God would lead you to do. You know, just as sincere as you want to follow the Lord in this prayer time. And then at the end, I give a couple truths from the Bible to let you know he's working like he did in getting that second temple built. Let's pray together, please. Lord, thank you for each dear one here. We follow you this week with fear, anticipation, gladness, but mixed emotions. If you took any one person here, Lord, and just said, explain to us the challenges and problems you had, we would say, they'll only make it with God's help. And that would be true. So for us, Lord, we surrender our life to you. Hear our prayers as we pray together. Lord, be yourself in us today. Show us what you will do in our souls. Hear our silent prayers. Lord, be yourself in us at work and in the home. Two real key areas. Hear our silent prayers. Lord, be yourself in us with our friends and in church life as we try to learn to love other brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, be yourself in us in pain, when we have pain and loss. When we try to serve and love people, we think, oh, they don't deserve love. But God, you love them. Be yourself in us at those moments. And then, Lord, to hear some of your word, which is true, God is at work in you. Thank you, Lord. God began a good work in you all. That's true. You are God's workmanship. You're a letter written by the Spirit. He's a good writer, and God makes his appeal through you. So, Lord, we walk with you, and we'll say, by your Spirit, might we trust you this week and with our lives and with eternity. Just wanted to pray, Lord, if anybody needs to receive you and just say, I need Christ for salvation. I'm going to hell without Jesus. Only he can take me to heaven. I trust you, Jesus, and what you did for me. And help me follow you. And that dear child will be a delight to you and to everybody. Bless us. In your name we pray. Amen.